Worth's app makes mobile ordering easy. Download it now. The value of coin increased by 5 cents today to $3.56. What is your coin worth today? Summer Breakfast.
21 after 7 on SEN Summer Breakfast. David King and Jack Heverin still to come on the McCafe menu. Ben Buckley, the chairman of North Melbourne, will join us in about 40 minutes from now. Brad Haddon will also join us a little bit later on. Live EPL, Liverpool 2, Leicester City 0 at halftime. And in the ATP Tour final in London, Dominic Thiem took the first set 6-4. Daniil Medvedev took the second 7-6. And it's one all on serve, locked away in the third. We'll talk Kevin Sheedy's article, My 12 Commandments, from the Herald Sun very, very shortly as well. But we're very delighted, as always, very generous with his time, the CEO of the AFL Players Association, Paul Marsh, who joins us once again here on SEN. Paul, good morning.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Deal's done. It's nice, I guess, for the entire industry in many ways to have the CBA for next year locked away and we can all move forward.
Yeah, it is. It's been a difficult few months to get to this point, but it is nice to get it locked away. So having some certainty now for the players and the clubs and the rest of the industry is a good thing, and we can all get on with other things now.
Come on, Marshy, how did you do it? How did you do it? A 3.5% effective cut over the next 12 months or so. It's a fantastic deal for the players. What was the major sticking point between yourselves and the AFL?
Oh, there's probably a few. I mean, I think there's so much uncertainty at the moment that, the AFL, you can't really rely on the forecast at the moment as much as they've given to us in good faith. So I think just trying to deal with the uncertainty and the deal scales up and back depending on, how we actually land next year, which is fair. And that's the whole purpose of having a revenue share agreement, is that the players share in the actual revenues of the industry, not the forecast. So, we're comfortable with where it landed. It's something that we've been pushing for a number of years. And, this deal improves the structure of that part of our deal. And I think just, our view has always been that the players are the product as well as the labour. And, they should be looked after accordingly. So I think we landed in a really fair and reasonable place.
100%. Agree with you there. Can you just talk to us about the post-hub feedback from the players that you've been receiving? I mean, it's an unbelievable season, a really challenging period, and we asked a lot of those AFL players. Some handled it, some didn't. What's been the overwhelming feedback from the player group?
Yeah, it's probably a little different for different groups. I actually went up there myself for 5 weeks, and I met with all the groups, and I think there's a direct correlation between how the teams went on the field and how they probably feel about it with respect to your question. So, I mean, I think, the teams that, Richmond, for example, are incredibly grateful that, this season went ahead because ultimately they took out the prize for some clubs. And I think this was entirely predictable as it became clear that they weren't going to feature in the finals. It became a very, very long time away. And, it was tough. It was a very restrictive environment up there. And I know there was some reporting down here that, they were living the lifestyle up there, but it really wasn't. They were very restricted. And, it was difficult for a lot of guys to do anything away from football, which is a mantra the whole industry has been pushing for a number of years. And that was taken away from a lot of players. So, look, it was definitely tough, but I think the young players liked it. I think the teams that went well were grateful for it. And for the teams at the other end, it was a pretty tough journey.
Couldn't agree more. We've heard a lot, just to get back to the collective bargaining agreement, a lot of argy-bargy about whether the list sizes will be shrinking or whether we'll play more games. You've got a desire, I think, to play more games per season. Maybe if we can compress them, that would be advantageous. Where are you thinking the game will go in the next 2 to 3 years? Will we have less players on the list or will we have more games?
Well, they're not necessarily mutually exclusive, but I think certainly part of our initial proposal to the AFL, which we haven't really spoken about, was we wanted to have a look at the fixture. I mean, it was an opportunity for us to see whether there was a way to do things differently and better. And we've agreed with the AFL that we'll form a working group next year to look into that. And I think it's an exciting time for our industry as we explore, potential changes that will see us into the future. List sizes has always been one for us where I personally, and I think our organisation, are of the view that our job isn't to maximise the number of positions on a list, it's to get the right number. And you know, we had a good discussion with the industry around this one. I think some would have liked to have seen less. We're comfortable with where it landed. I think we'll go through a similar process next year. And it is really dependent on the second tier competitions as well and the ability to bring players up into the AFL lists from there. So, you know, that new competition is going to obviously evolve over the next 12 months.
AFL Players Association CEO Paul Marsh joining us on SEN Breakfast. Paul, we saw this year, by virtue of it having to happen, four-day breaks to get games in and to keep it happening. We've never seen it before. What's the feedback been from it? Is it something that players, based on this year, that they think that they could do on a semi-regular basis going forward?
Yeah, look, I think we probably need to get some formal feedback, but I think let's not lose sight of the fact that of a couple of things here. One is that there wasn't much travel for players within that, so I think that was a factor, because when you throw travel on top of it, 4 days becomes pretty taxing. I think also just there was a genuine fear from everybody that the season could be hindered at any particular point in time. So, you know, it was a calculated risk, I think, by everybody, including the players this year. So I think we're going to be a little bit careful that we don't just jump to four-day breaks, because the risk of injury, we believe, is greater. There will be travel, you would hope, into the future. So, look, we tend to keep an open mind with these sorts of things, but there are some barriers to jumping to four-day breaks.
Marshy, now that this little CBA is sorted out, you'll have the rest of the year off. Is that how it works?
Like you, Kingy. What are you doing up this early in the morning, by the way? Since when do you do that?
Hey, don't turn that around on me. What's next on the horizon? What are the challenges that are in front of you at the moment?
We've got an AFLW season coming up. I heard you talking about that a minute ago, and I think the challenges that have existed to the men will also exist for the AFLW players. So we've got to get that. We've got to get it fixtured. We've got to get that sorted. That's really important for us over the next little bit. And, you know, I think, as I'm sure you would have seen in the media release that went out on Friday, look, we've taken a cut to our business that now we need to have a good look at our business and see what we can do with the money we've got left. And, so we'll review our strategy and our structure off the back of getting this done. So they're probably two main priorities.
Yeah, we were just talking before about the AFLW season. Would there be anything that would hinder starting it a bit earlier, given that tennis is now looking like it's going to push back, if in fact go ahead at all, that sort of opens up middle, early January. Would there be anything that would really hinder AFLW coming forward into that spot?
Oh, I think there would be a few things that I can think of. I mean, the first one would be the AFLW players are not like the male players in that they have got jobs, most of them. So, you know, they plan their years out. And a lot of them will take leave, you know, without pay often, and they'll have done it for the period that it's been scheduled. So I think that's a potential barrier here. I think, you know, venue availability might also be an issue with cricket. I mean, that's one of the things, or cricket or other sports. I think they're the two probably that jump to mind, but it's a discussion that we'll keep having. And I think, you know, like we saw again with the men, we are trying to be as flexible as possible, because we want to try to get this season away with as few hitches as possible.
Bit to work through, no doubt. Paul, as always, thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Good to chat, Jen. See you.
Paul Marsh joining us, the CEO of the AFL Players Association.
Killed him, hasn't he? Killed him.
Yeah, he has.
Done a great job.
We spoke about this last week, but when you look at a 3.5% reduction across the board for players versus 30% soft cap reduction, and we've seen the loss of assistant coaches and development staff and all that sort of stuff that don't look like they're coming back, Kingy. One is a long way apart from the other. It does make you wonder how that's happened.
Yeah, and that's just from a sheer financial point of view. But I think how they handled the hubs and what they would have had to deal with the players and the constant discussions going on and, you know, player demands, what they were looking for and what the clubs and the AFL were prepared to do and give up, and, you know, just to ease the tension, if you like, to create an environment where they could perform.
Yep.
The AFLPA played a huge role in that. They were there for a long time.
Yeah, they were. 100-plus days, yeah. Some of the teams that made it in. I think the other thing to take out of that was where Paul Marsh said that their job is to not maximise the amount of spots on a list, but to maximise the earning capacity of those on a list. So I think the days of we're going to see cuts this year, and it's going to be minimum 37 on a list as opposed to sort of 42, 43. I feel like those days might be done for the next little while, where it's 44, 45 on a list. plus rookies.
Yeah, well, plus rookies. I think it's only coming down by a couple, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's only coming down by a couple of players. I mean,
so each club must have a minimum of 37 players with a maximum of 44. The primary list must have no less than 36 and no more than 38.
But the 44 is down from 47, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's not a massive reduction. Eddie McGuire calls them the bread roll eaters. The guys that hang around your club, they never play senior football, but they're always on a massage table. They're always part of everything you do. You have to plan for them. You have to train with them, all those sorts of things. You have to cater for them. There are two or three guys on a list every year that you just know are not going to play.
For sure.
That are not going to play. And I think what we're trying to do is reward the guys who bring the crowds. So we should be, in effect, be able to pay Dustin Martin and Nathan Fyfe and Patrick Dangerfield, the absolute top end of our competition. They should get paid more. There's no doubt about that because of what they generate. And it's great to have lists of 44 and great to have lists of 38 senior AFL players or listed AFL players. But the facts are there's only about half a dozen that generate the product.
They're the ones you're going to watch, aren't they?
So they're the ones that need to be, in my opinion, remunerated adequately. And I'm still not even sure we're there. And some people say, but these guys are making over $1 million, but they are generating so much money.
Maybe we're not there yet.
I don't think we are.
Maybe there's still more to come. We'll talk Kevin Sheedy's article after the news with Meredith as well. My 12 commandments, the changes vital to sparking chaos. We'll explore that. We'll get your thoughts on it next here on SEM Breakfast. I was born
bold. Worth's app makes mobile ordering easy. Download it now. The value of coin increased by 5 cents today to $3.56. What is your coin worth today? Summer Breakfast.
Couple of minutes after 8 o'clock here on SEN Summer Breakfast, David King and Jack Heverin. Still to come on the McCafe menu, Brad Haddon will join us in around 20 minutes from now. Questions without notice before the end of the show as well. How did we finish up in the NFL game, Kingy? 24 apiece, was it?
Going overtime.
OT yep. Now. Yep.
Baltimore and the Titans. So, cracking game.
Very good one, that one. Also off the text, well, boys, if you had any doubt that Melbourne is back, then today should fix it. It's belting down with rain and the Monash has got an accident on it and now it's a car park. It is wet on the road today, so just be careful. Take your time. Stay with us. We'll get you through your drive into work this morning. For North Melbourne supporters, Kingy, we've been sitting here for the last few days. The text machine is a really good way of feedback and knowing exactly what everyone's thinking, good, bad or otherwise. One thing that can't be denied is North Melbourne supporters are really, really excited with the appointment of David Noble. The chairman, Ben Buckley, joins us this morning on SEN Breakfast. Ben, welcome and congratulations.
Yeah, morning, guys. Thanks for having me on. It's a great outcome. David's going to do a wonderful job. He's a very, very experienced operator and we're looking forward to having him full-time very shortly at Arden Street.
You've had the weekend because it came out via press release Friday afternoon that David would be getting the job. Have you got the sense from Kangaroo supporters like we have that they are really excited about what's coming now?
Yeah, certainly the feedback has been very positive from our members, our supporters. My phone was ringing pretty hot on Friday afternoon. I think there's a lot of excitement about David joining us and has been met in a way that's been overwhelmingly positive.
Congratulations, Ben. Well done. I think it'll be a great appointment for the football club. Right man, right time type activity. Can you just run us through the process and how you then arrive at one man? Where did you start and how did you trim the numbers across the path down to one man?
Yeah, thanks for your first comment, Kingy. Look, it was a long process or a very detailed process. We assembled a great team of people with very diverse experiences. We had Paul Roos, who's known to everyone. We had Brady Rawlings, obviously, our head of footy. Ben Amafio, our CEO. Glenn Archer, who's on our board. Sonia Hood, who's also on our board. We had Terry Coyne, who's an organisational psychologist. And with that group was led by a guy called Bruno Conti, who is a principal partner of a company called SHK. They are executive recruiters and consultants. So, look, it was a very diverse group, all very experienced in their own particular areas. And, you know, they looked at a very broad list of potential candidates. I think originally there was about 30 people who were identified as being somewhat appropriate for the role. That was narrowed down to, you know, a short list of probably about 10, and then ultimately there was about three people who were interviewed in full. But there was a lot of conversations with a lot of people to come down to that list. So a very extensive process led by a group of highly qualified people.
What in the end, what was the separating factor for you or that panel that you've just spoken about that led to David Noble?
Well, I think it's a combination of things, and this is in no way disrespectful to those that didn't get the job. I think David presented himself as a very experienced operator within the football industry. He's been he's coached football teams. He's been assistant coach at AFL clubs. He's been a list manager. He's been a footy, head of footy, a GM of footy, both at Adelaide and Brisbane. So I think David's wealth of experience and diversity of experience and maturity and his ability to sort of, lead and create a whole football program probably set him apart from others.
Ben Buckley, the chairman of North Melbourne, joining us on SEN Breakfast. It's 8 minutes past eight. Ben, do you think as an industry we are starting to head that way a little bit more? Chris Fagan, David Noble, others. Is the industry starting to look towards candidates who have got experience across the whole gamut?
Yeah, it's a good question, Jack. My observations are that the role is much more than the coach of a footy team these days. It takes in, a huge amount of responsibility to create a whole football program. It's not just match day coaching. You've got to be able to manage a big team of people, assistant coaches, development coaches, medical staff. You've got to interact with the board. You've got to interact with the media, sponsors. And it really is a very, very senior management position, as well as being the coach of the footy team. So I'm not sure whether there'll be an ongoing trend, but I think there's going to be, a lot of people are going to give consideration to people with probably more experience because the job has just got so big.
So in your view, Ben, what sort of process are we in now? What sort of transition period is the North Melbourne Football Club about to undertake? I mean, what's the contract, firstly, with David Noble, and what's your message to him in terms of, is it a 2-year rebuild? Is it a 3-year, 5-year? How would you put it?
Yeah, I think these things are always hard to put an exact time frame on, Kingy, but there's no doubt that, we are in a transition phase. We've got we've changed the age profile of the list dramatically in the last 6 months. We've got a young group, an exciting group coming through, but a core group who should take us, through the next 5 to 10 years. So I think that realistically, David's got, 2 to 3 years to really get us into a position where we're competing regularly in the top four and ultimately looking to win a premiership. That's our ultimate goal.
What does that process look like now, Ben, for David and his support staff, for all of the changes that have been somewhat enforced on all footy clubs this year with soft caps and whatnot? There are some gaps within the North Melbourne coaches box that need to be filled. How do you go about that?
Well, I think we deliberately left two assistant coaching roles vacant so that whoever the new coach coming in could shape that team the way they would want to shape it. John Blakey joined us, who's a wonderful appointment and a very experienced operator. I think all North supporters would know John particularly well. He's been part of the Sydney Swans program for many, many years. So David's got to assemble a group of assistant coaches, which I know he's already given some thought to. He's got to meet the players. He's got to, put together a pre-season training program, ultimately bring the whole club together and talk about what our aspirations are, our goals are, our values as a footy team. So, he's got a lot of work to do. But fortunately, I think in some ways, given the COVID situation, pre-season has been pushed back a bit and the players come back in early December. So there's a bit of time to do all that.
Ben, and we're talking positively about the Kangaroos today, I know, and David Noble's going to be a wonderful appointment, but that's on the back of where we find Reece Shaw at the moment. Have you got an update on Reece and how he's tracking?
look, I know Rhys is taking some time out and, you know, to work through some of those issues. Ultimately, you know, we wish him well, and he was a wonderful person. We were, you know, glad to have the experience of having Rhys at the footy club, and we wish him well for the future.
Is the door open for Rhys going forward, Ben, or is it, or are the Rhys and North Melbourne just in different places, even in 2 or 3 years' time from now?
Look, I think the door would always be open for someone like Rhys. He's a wonderful, wonderful person. He's got a lot to offer the footy industry. If and when he wants to come back into the football world, you know, I'm sure we would be happy to have a conversation with him. But I think that's not the number one priority at the moment, either for Rhys or for ourselves. Our focus is really on getting behind David, getting David integrated into the organisation, and, you know, really focusing on 2021 and beyond.
There's a lot of work that needs to be done, Ben. Thanks so much for joining us. You've got the press conference to come this morning. I know there's a special press conference for Tasmania as well for supporters there. So good luck with everything, and thanks for your time this morning.
Great. Thanks, Jack. Thanks, King.
Ben Buckley joining us, the chairman of the North Melbourne Footy Club. Kingy, you've had the weekend to take all this in, knowing that David Noble would be announced today. How do you feel about it now as a proud and passionate North Melbourne man?
Well, he wins the job. Fantastic. But as soon as his tenure starts, that he's under the same pressure as everyone else. And like it or not, he will get a grace period. You know, he'll get a certain amount of flex through the next 12 months or so, given the win-loss ratio that he's picking up, a club in transition. But it doesn't last. We all know that. David Noble knows that. He knows he's jumping out of the frying pan into the fire. He's the man now. Even Ben just touched on it then, being an assistant coach, being a coach at lower levels, and be a GM of footy, they are all different to the hot seat.
Yeah.
And right now, you've become the number one man, the number one voice at a football club. You've got to have the answers. You've got to have the direction. You've got to have the relationships. Everything changes. So I hope he does great things. I really do. I think he's the perfect man for the job right now. And some people get upset with that, but I'm a kangaroo's man.
Absolutely you are.
You know, we needed some stability and someone who's a steady hand. I think I said to Glenn McFarlane the other day, he takes the blood pressure from 400 over 200 down to 120 over 80.
Did read that.
And that's what we need.
More to come on that. Questions without notice a little bit later on as well. 0433 98 11 16. Send us your text on what you heard there from Ben Buckley and your thoughts. Tennessee have just won in overtime, 30-24 against the Ravens, and Liverpool lead Leicester City 2-0 at the 85-minute mark.
I was born. The Worth app makes ordering your workshop consumables and products a breeze. Download it today. The value of coin increased by 5 cents today to $3.56. What is your coin worth today? Summer Breakfast.
22 after 8 on Summer Breakfast. David King and Jack Heverin. Take care on the roads this morning. It's a wet and wild one in Melbourne. We're getting a lot of text messages from different accidents around Victoria. So just look after yourself. Stay with us. We'll take you through. Kingy, it is still belting down outside.
It is. A lot of feedback today. Soft questioning.
Keep a couple of them
Ben
safe.
Buckley.
Keep a couple of them safe. EPL final score, Liverpool defeated Leicester City 3-0, and Daniil Medvedev defeated Dominic Thiem in 3 sets in the ATP Tour final in London. Delighted to have Brad Haddon join us here on SEN. 66 tests for Australia between 2008 and 2015. But my understanding is that Brad's absolutely bored you know what at the moment as he sits in quarantine in the hotel. Hads, good morning.
Morning, guys. Yeah, this is brutal, this hotel quarantine.
Take us through it. Yeah. What are you doing?
Honestly, I've got no windows in here. I'm just trying to paint a picture. I've got no windows. I'm not allowed to get any fresh air for 10 days. But the lucky thing is that it's raining today, so I've got something new. I can hear a bit of rain outside, so that's good.
Fascinating.
So you're in there for 2 weeks without a window, Brad?
No, you got no fresh air at all. So, mate, yeah, it's interesting, but that's the new world we live in, so you can't complain, can you?
How was the IPL? You're quarantining at the moment, obviously, because you've just come back. How did you find it? It was a different looking IPL this year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a different looking, but it was all the same on the field. The stand of cricket was outstanding. Mumbai Indians were probably the standout team for the whole tournament, and they went on to win it. But from a personal point of view, yeah, we did all right. We end up coming third. We beat all the top teams, but we just fell over at the and Ricky Ponting's Delhi team gave us a touch-up after beating them twice during the tournament.
I tell you what, you'll have the best notes of anyone in the land after 2 weeks in isolation like this, Hats.
Yeah, they were good the first week. I've read back to them over the last few days and they make no sense. So I think I'm losing my mind.
How excited are you? I mean, what should we be looking forward to? I mean, this is a big series, isn't it? A massive build-up to this. You know, the Indian team coming out, the supporter base is huge. Are you as excited as we are?
Yeah, I am. It's just great theatre, Australia versus India. We know that the Indian team's top of the world as well. They play with a lot of emotion. That sometimes can spill over. I thought last series, Tim Payne handled it well. I thought the way he took on Virat Kohli was just a great side show to everyone. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting series. I think we're in a lot different position than we were last time when they beat us. We've got Steve Smith and obviously David Warner back. We've got Marnus, who's come on the scene the last 12 months, has been amazing. And I'm interested to see how they're going to handle our three fast bowls and Nathan Lyon. So if we start well, I can see it being a real disaster for India this summer in the Test match.
That's interesting. That can they, without Virat Kohli, he's their emotional barometer, Hads, can they be the team that they are without Virat Kohli leading the way? Because he won't be here after the first Test.
Yeah, obviously missing your leader like that's a big play, but he does add a lot of emotion, and he can also add a lot of pressure to his opposition players with his teammates, with the way he carries on. So one thing India, I think, can cover is with middle-order batsmen. I think they'll have enough, but whether they have the class to handle the world-class bowling attack, I'm not so sure about that.
How does the lineup look? Everyone's talking about Will Pekoski. Are you one for a settled lineup that you take in, or do you like this selection pressure? Do you like the fact that there's a few different names on the line for this series?
I love that there's selection pressure. I think that's when Australian cricket's at their best. And I love that Will Pekoski's come out and scored two double hundreds. You probably weren't talking about him at the start of the summer. We know how talented he is and the issues he's had, but he's come out and scored two double hundreds. I love that young Green's starting to emerge now as a quality, world-class all-rounder, which will be good to see his development. And I think that's important. I think you need guys pushing the Australian players. They had a great summer last summer. They won all their Test matches and they played some really good cricket, but I'm not sure whether that team's 100% settled just because the form of Will Pekoski.
So, I mean, this it comes back to the debate that we've had for a long time about Sheffield Shield runs and what they mean. Is this banging down the door down to the point where it's too hard to ignore someone like Will Pekoski now?
Yeah, it's going to be an interest. Still a month away from the first Test, and I know Burns played well last summer, but he's had a bit of a lean trot of it in the opening Sheffield Shield game. So I think it's going to be a really important Australian A game. Sometimes you play these games just to get some volume leading into the first Test, but I think if Will comes out and puts a big display on in that game and Burns continues a lean patch of form, it's really hard to say no to someone who's putting numbers like that up.
Lastly, Brad, the depth, as you mentioned, in Australian cricket, it feels as though it hasn't been this strong for a little while now, and maybe that's because we've had four Shield games to work our way through and see who's in form, but the squad of 17 that we've got, that could have easily had another two or three more. The depth with bat, ball and across all aspects is really exciting, I reckon, at the moment.
Yeah, it's good, and that's what you want. You want everyone being under pressure for their position, but with that 17, I'm excited by the newcomers to come in as well. Swepson, a leg spinner. We haven't seen a leg spinner around the Australian setup for a long, long time. And he's also come in off the back of some outstanding performances. He's got three fifers in a row. He's been bowling Queensland to victory in the Shield cricket. Sean Abbott, what are the last 12 months he's had? He's fixed up his batting. And the thing I'm impressed with him is he's starting to get wickets on flat wickets in the second innings. So, yeah, I love the depth we've got at the moment, and I like that everyone's under a bit of pressure from each other.
You're under isolation at the moment. Is there a series or something you're watching, something you can tip us into?
Yeah, I can. I just watched the Gangs of London. I finished that in a day. So,
in a day.
So, yeah, that's
I've just finished that, and I've watched the last series of Peaky Blinders. So, yeah, they're the two I'd tip you into.
We'll give you a call the same time tomorrow, Brett.
Mate, I'll be here.
Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Have a good one. See you, boys.
Brad Hatton joining us here on SEN.
He's a ripper.
Yeah, he's fantastic. First one day are on Friday.
Friday.
Come up quick. Yeah.
And that's come quick.
Yep. November 27, 29 and December 2, the one dayers, and then T20s on the 4th, 6th and 8th off the top of my head.
Will will he be out by then, Fred?
Friday. He gets out on Friday. I think he does.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how you'd get. How would you go with isolation?
No good. No good. It cost me a fortune, I reckon.
You're not the type that sits still.
No. No. Without a window. No fresh air.
Surely you get a window.
Gee whiz, that'd be tough. He's doing it hard.
He is. Brad was here with thanks to Scottish Pacific, by the way. Finance that keeps your business moving. Turn unpaid invoices into cash or access funding to build your fleet. scottpack.com.au. 1-300-736-736 to join us from whatever you've heard from across the morning. If you want to pick up the conversation around Kevin Sheedy's article from yesterday, some thoughts on the Australian team, or you might have an early question without notice for us. We'll take your calls after the news.